Zender, are you losing your enthusiasm for war, famine, and plague? Yeah, I kind of am. And for Israel, definitely. Definitely losing my enthusiasm for Israel. Because I'm just irritated again at all these signs, all these feasts, all these things that to me seem like child's toys that prepare the meal for the Passover. It just seems so primitive. You might as well go back to the Stone Age. That's the way I'm looking at it. And people do ask the question, why is God going back to the law in the thousand years? Well, he's not going back to it because these people have never done it correctly yet. So they're finally going to be doing it. And the nations during the millennium are going to be in the place Israel is now. They're going to be learning about God through the law and through finally the proper administration of the law. Now, I talked about the White Horse Rider. I was a little confused about that yesterday. And I thought about this overnight. I'm probably the only guy who did. It's the conquest. The conquest. You see, because the second, third, and fourth seal, we have war, famine, and pestilence, or plague. War, famine, and plague. So these are things that happen. But the first horse, the white horse, we see conquest. Conquest is administered by a person. You see war, you see the subtle difference between conquest and conquering. There's going to be conquering going on by the white horse rider. But the red horse rider, by contrast, is war. It's war. It's a thing. It's a condition. Whereas conquest isn't a condition. We have a 90% chance of conquest today. I mean, it's something you actively do. So, and plus the horse is white. And so the rider there is the conqueror. Whereas, the example I gave you yesterday, I just want to make sure this is clear to you because it wasn't really clear to me yesterday. I was a little bit hesitant there. Not to mention the fact that I am irritated right now by this whole topic. And I'm irritated by Israel and her feasts, her precious feasts. I'm sorry, I'm mocking it, man. It's just so primitive compared to what we have. We're already justified. We're already in new creation truth. It's like we're already on the new earth where God is dwelling with humanity, no longer the intermediary. And there's still a priesthood going on in the thousand years, and that's irritating to me. There's still a priesthood going on. And now I have to talk about it to you because we're here and we're doing the unveiling. And where do you get to the souls on the altar? That's the fifth seal. I've, you know, looked ahead at that and studied it out, and that's even more irritating to me. And yet, we're going to talk about it. There's a part of it that's irritating. There's a part of it that's exciting. And the word that's exciting to me, and I hate to tell you this, you're probably going to think, Zender, what's happening to you? And that word is vengeance. I want to see vengeance. Damn it. I really do. I want to see. And this is, I'm unveiling my heart here. And now is the time for peace with our enemies. And we're supposed to love our enemies, bake them cookies, give them the morsel, give them the drink, pat them on the head, send them cards, and do this for our enemies. But the time is coming where, and because this is an era of peace. This is an era where God is conciliated to the world. For 2,000 years, folks, we're not going to realize how good we had it for 2,000 years until you see what's going to happen, which you're not. You're going to look at it from a higher vantage point. What happens in that final 3.5 years? People are going to pine for the days between the crucifixion of Christ and the year 2021 or whatever. So when the day of indignation begins. So you're going to pine for these days because you realize that now is a day of salvation, you see. And the world's not going to realize how good they had it. And people are so stupid now because they say, where's God? Where's the promise of his presence? We don't see God. God's left his universe. He's off on a distant errand. He's left it. And when they realize that he really is not, and when he does show up, they're going to, again, wish he hadn't, and they're going to rue the day. Serious ruage will ensue when God really does show up finally. I mean, shows up physically. But again, during these first four seals, he's still hiding behind what could be perceived as providential afflictions. Now, I don't believe there have been any world wars before World War I. There have been some pseudo-world wars, but as if. And this also irritates me. Wait a minute, where am I going here? Okay, I'm scrolling through. Okay. I went to World War. Simply, it's what I did. You can do the same thing on Wikipedia. Now, when you look at the First World War, what they now call the First World War, when it was happening in 1914, it was called the Great War. And you look at a map, and I'm looking at a map, and I'm looking at the participants of the Great War, now called World War I. And pretty much everybody's throwing their hat into the ring, except there's some people in Mexico. I notice they're not getting involved. Greenland is saying, no, thank you. We prefer to freeze our asses up here in the Arctic Circle. And there are several large countries in South America, not Brazil. Brazil's in on it. But Argentina, not so much. Chile, no. Ecuador doesn't look like it. So there's some people not in it. But most of the map is covered. They're still calling it a world war. I'm going to tell you what historians think is the mark of a world war. I'm telling you this because Jesus prophesied wars and rumors of wars. And I believe that as this era shortens, the afflictions get worse. Jesus said, Matthew again, 24, I read this to you yesterday, you shall be about to be hearing battles, tidings of battles. See that you are not alarmed. And we're going to look at earthquakes later. But anyway, so now we get to World War II. Everybody's in place. So what, Switzerland maybe? Maybe Switzerland? Just, some countries in the Netherlands up here. Just very few people. Now, the only other, you have to go back. I got a list of all the wars. Large-scale wars before 1914. I'm going all the way back to 499 B freaking C here with the Greco-Persian Wars. These were large-scale wars before 1914, but none of them engaged the entire world. They were, by comparison, local skirmishes. Folks, I'm going back to the Second Punic War, 218 BC, the Roman-Syrian War. And in you, when you get to the AD times here, we're looking at the Byzantine Wars of AD 502, Muslim conquest. That's a long time. How's this for a war? It went from 622 to 1258. That's 600 years. The Muslims were busy back then, weren't they? The Muslim conquest. This was followed by the Christian Crusades. Christian Crusades came on the heels of Muslim conquest. This is in 622, First Christian Crusade, 1096. So this was 1,000 years ago, and yet we're still in the same thing. We're still seeing Christians chasing Muslims around, Christians chasing Muslims around, Ishmael chasing Isaac, Isaac chasing Ishmael. It comes down to the sons of Abraham once again, doesn't it? And this is not a new thing. These are religious wars. First Crusade, 1096, Second Crusade, 1145. Then there's the Mongol conquest. You got to watch out for the Mongols because they started conquesting. You see, and this began in 1206, if you can believe that, and it went to 1324. That's over 100 years, my friends. The Mongols were very busy. The Byzantine-Ottoman Wars. Don't even talk to me about the Byzantine-Ottoman Wars, because I hate war. Like I say, I can't even kill roaches. And you heard about how hard it was for me to kill a rat, but I had to do it to protect my family. So we come down, keep going. Now, but there are maps now. And many people think, in fact, Winston Churchill himself called the Seven Years' War, he called that the First World War. But it wasn't. I'm looking at a map now. And my quiz today, there's going to be a quiz, it's starting now. How many years was the Seven Years' War? First one to get the answer correct will receive my irritation, because I want to give some of this irritation away that I have right now for the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Unveil yourself already and get on with the millennium and get me out of this earth and get me into the heavens where I belong so that I can begin to reconciled the heavens. That's what I just get it on. This stuff's waxing old. Sorry. But anyway, I'm looking at a map. And you can go here yourself. World War. Type in those magic words, World War, into your Wikipedia thing, website, whatever it is. Nobody in Africa. There's one little country in Africa. I don't even know what it is. A tiny little thing. Nobody in Africa is fighting in this war. The entire Eurasia, the Asia down here, and India, and Japan, Pakistan, nobody's fighting it. I think this might be the whole China's not in it. Australia is in gray, which means not fighting. Neutral countries. We're out. Count us out. So now we have to go down to the French Revolutionary Wars. Are you kidding me? You're going to call this a world war? It's not. These are major wars. Some people think the Napoleonic Wars. Good old Napoleon. From 1803 to 1815, Napoleon was on the move. Did it involve the whole earth? No. Africa, not in it. Again, Asia, forget about it. They don't want nothing to do with it. Only half of Australia is into it. Half of Canada, forget it. Is Alaska a state? No, heck no. But none of those territories. Greenland, again, they're busy freezing their asses off. They want nothing to do with the Napoleonic Wars. And so you have to go to 1914. To me, you're not seeing war until there. Now, here's a good quote, too, about what historians consider was different about World War I. And I'm seeing that wars are increasing. That's my point. Wars are getting more complex. Wars are involving more people. Now, you could go back and look at Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon and Alexander the Great, and they just went and conquered people. Nobody was at war with them. They just went and said, we're taking you, we're taking you, 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 you. Da-da-da-da. I'm the king of the world. I'm Leonardo DiCaprio with Kate Winslet at the bow of the Titanic. But that's not a world war. That's simply conquest. We're looking at World War III. That's what we're looking toward. And it's going to involve, everybody's going to be in on it. It's going to affect everyone. Now, after 1945, I'm quoting now from the BBC.com. This is an article. You want to know what it's titled? Whatever. World War I. Was it really the First World War? By Heather Jones, the London School of Economics. This is at BBC.com. World War I. Was it really the First World War? Quote, after 1945, historians found the term First World War appropriate because they saw 1914 through 1918 as the first of a particular type of international conflict, the world's first industrialized total war, which had been followed by a second industrialized world war of this kind in 1939 to 1945. So this is a financial involvement. Everybody's throwing their 2 cents in, they're contributing material and such, and it's an international conflict in its effect. Also in play here is the how it affects one's currency, how it affects the way one lives. And if it affects the way you live, then it involves you, even though you may not necessarily be involved in the fighting. But my gosh, look at the maps again of World War I and World War II, and there's no war in any distance. You have to go back a long ways. And I've gone back a long ways to 600 BC. And no war was like World War I. And World War II took World War I to the next level, because more countries were involved. The Third World War will be even worse, because there is going to be these seals that I mentioned, famine and pestilence, that are really might start in a gradual way, but they will be unprecedented. And it will all be led by a white horse rider who will bring conquest, who will be a conqueror. And he wears the wreath of accomplishment. Right, and he's a great man, and he's either going to initiate these things or be a part of it, or he's going to rescue the world from these things. I tend to be of the latter viewpoint, but we will straighten out all these tangles. All this tangled web is unveiled for us in the unveiling of Jesus Christ.